There's a great and a bloody fight round this whole world tonight. In the battle, the bombs and shrapnel rain. Hitler told the world around he would tear our Union down. But our Union's gonna break them slavery chains. And our Union's gonna break them slavery chains. I walked up on a mountain.
Hello, and welcome back to our podcast. The fanfic of the fanfic itself is a synthesis between Fallout, the popularity of post-apocalyptic wasteland, and My Little Pony, a popular show about pastel horses. Hi, I'm Fi. I'm joined once again with my co-host, Weird. Say hello, Weird.
That's Sir Weirdington Esquire to you, and this story is very bad. Last week, I had to hear the story of how we're supposed to be sad that a horse destroyed a hive of dark elves, basically, by forcing their horrible rape castle into the material plane, where they can be ripped apart by raiders are a problem again. It's not harbingers, like low-level mobs are brandishing barely functioning shotguns at the foot of this castle, and we're supposed to be very impressed. Meanwhile, it turns out I was right, and clearly in Sombra's vision, the wasteland is very densely populated because there's a lot of places all over the waste that, like, have in some inscrutable way benefited from Blackjack's presence.
I have a counter to that in this chapter.
And yet, there are a bunch of imposters trying to sort of take credit for that, and, like, people don't, in the population numbers that, like, from, like, KCAT's work and what Fi is expecting, this grift should be impossible, because all of the people who've been touched by Blackjack have seen her personally.
Well, I think that the explanation is just very much just it. This is the Hoof brings in people from everywhere around it, not just the Hoof, and that's like, and there's a huge influx of that happening because of the, like, the Harbingers and all that shit.
Sure, whatever. But also, it's because of a, I don't know, I'm half convinced a meta joke about how all ponies have the exact same body plan, and so you can just paint yourself a color. change your main texture, and it's a perfect disguise, in a literal sense, because Blackjack goes home, and Glory attacks her, assuming that she's another one of these posers, and that's where we end last week's story. No fuss, no muss. Just
back at it again at the Krispy Kreme.
I'm at the Krispy Kreme. I'm at the Wasteland. I'm at the Combination.
Yes, we're at episode 66, chapter 69, which I'm going to forego the obvious hit. 69 is the sex number, and therefore I should say nice. But the context...
The story is not nice.
The contents of this chapter are so unpleasant. Want to...
Put the word nice anywhere in relation to its content.
Well, even just, like, associating, like, sexuality in any way is really uncomfortable to me.
Oh, no.
So that's,
I don't like to hear that.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, no.
So this chapter is cartoonishly short in comparison to most chapters. Most chapters hover around the, like, 30,000 words. This is closer to, like, 19,000 words, just shy of 20,000 words, give or take. So it's a lot shorter, but... Boy, I was expecting maybe this was going to be like a softball chapter that where a lot of stuff didn't happen, and I didn't feel sad for once in my miserable fucking life reading this story. But oh, what a fool I was! My epitaph, subtitle, whatever, for this one is, this is the worst fucking chapter.
That's an incredible fucking bar!
It's the worst for me because it's like a fucking cacophony. It's an absolute conga line of bad things.
I'm gonna dying by the end of this, aren't I? Like, you're
maybe?
You're being me. You're a bad friend, Fi. I don't think I want to be a part of this operation anymore. I think this might have all been some sort of terrible mistake. Roll the music. Love God. Roll the music.
No, I refuse. I have the button and I'm keeping it away from his robot hands. Anyway, so this chapter opens. Okay, so So I want to like preface this with like, Somber sucks at writing characters, and therefore Glory is ridiculous in this scene. But I can understand where this character is coming from in this circumstance. So this chapter opens with her losing it on Blackjack, immediately assuming that she's some sort of imposter, and like even after like Blackjack like tries to calm her down, she just refuses to like listen to anything she says, because this is like apparently not the first time there's been an imposter that showed up and pretended that it was Blackjack within 3 months. And she's particularly traumatized by like Cognitim's like cold shoulder she's been giving her in the first place. So I guess like
that's a hell of a grift to happen multiple times. That's a hell of an angle for somebody to try and pick up. I don't know that I've ever heard of that. I don't know how many people like showed up trying to pretend that they were the president to the president's wife.
At least twice. Because we get a joke about one that was a dude and a different one who insisted that she was Blackjack because she like, I think got some of her memories or some shit. I don't know. It's not important how it works, but she was dead to rights certain she was.
Why would this be happening? Like, this is a thing that happens like to people with disappeared relatives, but like as far as the world at large knows, Blackjack is fine and she's right.
Well,
there.
She just came back like 20 minutes ago. You gotta remember, okay. Like, there was a 3-month gap that happened. Because, like, the thing, like, the goofy thing to me is that, like, the imposters have nothing to do with the story.
Oh, this is Death and Return of Superman shit. Okay. What?
They just independently decided to start dressing up like Blackjack.
Somber, you're doing Death and Return of Superman? Really? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Carry on.
So
let's get to the real pain.
We got Steeljack.
Okay.
We got Steeljack and Blackjack, red and blue, and the robot Blackjack. Anyways, so the thing is though, I can buy Glory being mad about this. Like Glory, what, for the very little characterization that any character has in this fucking story, Glory has been continuously shown to have like pretty severe abandonment issues because of her mother bailing on her and her whole family like slowly disappearing from her life as they join the military and just all of them being very distant to her. So she has like a lot of severe abandonment issues, and Blackjack has like bailed on her multiple times. So like she is suitably pretty paranoid that this like liar showed up in her life and is like, "Hi, it's me. I'm Blackjack." And like making a mockery of like whatever like relationship, like confused as it may be, Glory has with Blackjack. And I can understand her being pretty mad about this. But I've hyped up this scene without people knowing for a long time. And this is one of those moments where it like botches such a simple concept that it genuinely bothers me. Like it's such a failure to execute even the most basic story trope.
Oh, man. You see, I was about to praise it because, like, it's a pretty... Like, this is a sensible, like, meaningful, like, interaction. It came about by incredibly artificial, dumb, like,
Well, memes. This is, but, like, the way that they get out of this is really, like, annoying to me.
Of course
so, like,
it would be.
Glory is, like, you know, pretty beaten up about this and, like, throwing stuff at Blackjack. And, like, the rest of the crew come back in and they're just, like... Hey, what's going on, Glory? And they're like, oh, it's another one of the imposters. And, like, apparently 21 has, like, is a lot more civil about these imposters and kind of just, like, pats her down. And it's just like, we don't have food for you. We know that you're not our friend. Like, you don't even have the cutie mark. Like, you're such an obvious imposter. Like, he's being, like, very, like...
Isn't it notable she has no cutie mark? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking weird, guys?
So this is where it fucks it up, because this story is trying to do a twist or trying to like innovate on this in a way. There's a bit here that like really should have just been like the moment that the whole thing turns around, where like 21's like, hey now, okay, tell me what your real name is, and you know we can get you some food or something. And she's like, my name's Go Fish, and that should have been the moment, because
no one knows that.
No one, not a single person in the story would know that her real name is Go Fish, and she is told this to both 21 and Glory in a moment of extreme intimacy, where it was critically important that they knew what her actual true name was. It had been set up multiple times. Like, there has been multiple situations of payoff, like build up for this payoff, and it doesn't work. It isn't the linchpin onto which makes them figure it out. It's just her bitching long enough that they eventually figure out that no one can possibly be this convincing of a blackjack impersonator. It's not like that big of a deal, but I
don't even have the energy to want to pant Somber anymore, but I do want to like literally drown him in seltzer. Like I want a seltzer bottle to like a series of them, actually. Just a crate of seltzer bottles that I can just keep hosing like Somber's face down with.
Well, I'm just throwing pies at him the entire time. just a machine gun of pies. But like it's just you can't do anything fucking right. You can't do the most.
How the fuck does he deflect that? Like, because that's like a thunderstrike of a like trunk. That is irrefutable. Like that's the conversation is done.
He just goes like, huh, that's funny. We like that's her real name too, and she's like, of course it is, because I am. And then she like provides a whole bunch more evidence, which like.
Man, oh, fuck. Oh, it actually makes me feel sick. Okay, yeah. All right, so that, now that that's explained, let's move on to the next thing,
please. It's really awful. It takes them forever to figure it out. It actually more or less just takes Boo showing up. Like, that's what actually happens. Like, Boo shows up and she's... Okay, so apparently Boo can now talk, but she talks like a toddler. Like, she goes, like, blackjack, and she can speak in full sentences, but they're, like, horrible, annoying child written in a, like, Disney movie kind of speak, where they're just, like, broken sentences.
Obnoxious that baby that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
Obnoxious cartoon baby.
But she vouches for her, and the one thing I can kind of buy about this, but it's going to get into a different thing I want to get mad about, where it's, like, she's like, how could you believe Cognitim? She's so obviously not me. Like, she doesn't even try to act like me. And they're like, well, she has all your memories, and also Rampage vouched for her, which is like, I could almost kind of buy, like we've talked about this before, but like, Blackjack's crew of friends is like, paradoxically, actually so awful that I could kind of buy that not a single one of them has ever, like, internalized what Blackjack's personality actually is, and just so they could buy that he like an imposter who's just bad at it, like that. Like, that's the thing that really gets me. Is a Cog like just doesn't even try to seem like her, and to the point where like Glory, in a moment of trying to reconnect with who she thought was Blackjack, like Cog basically just told her like, don't interact with me ever again. And she says something about like, I'll have someone to handle your reproductive urges if need be. And there's a dumb plot line about Glory having a moment of weakness where she like slept with one of the Blackjack imposters because she was so distraught over like Carnotim's like rejection of her. Oh man, oh man, my notes are kind of everywhere, but I'm just so like, I'm so dead. But they eventually start believing her, and they tell her the plan where they're like, so we're all going to meet up in Blue Bloods Manor, and we're going to bring everyone we know, and we're trying to like handle this whole like war, because like they're planning for a war, because they're going to like get all the factions that'll trust them together and stage a war against like Harbingers and the Legate and the clone army of Cyber Zebras. But like, okay, so we have like two major things. First of all, they talk about the idea that Blackjack is like, okay, well, the reason why I want my body back has nothing to do with me caring about my body. I just want my babies back. And like, there's a weird discussion between all of them where like the one thing I liked about it was the fact that they bring up the fact that they might, because of the time scale, they might be Stygius kids, which is much more interesting than the obvious one that it's 21's kids. Yeah. And they talk about, like, well, you know, what do you want to do? Like, you know, they're your kids, too. And, like, we have, like, just literally just naked anti-abortion propaganda just kind of like laid out on the table that like they can't take everything away from you. This is the only thing that's sacred because like I don't like I could talk forever about the idea of writing a protagonist who's like sole goal in life the moment they become pregnant is just babies. Like the entire story just swings entirely on its head to just be about babies and how that's like just bad storytelling in general, especially when you have like a female protagonist to just portray them as having like characterization besides maternal instincts is like a deeply sexist way to write your main character.
Metroid.
Yeah, exactly. But before anything else, fucking a scene that I hate, and I don't like, it's one of those things where like I'm not really invested in Glory and Blackjack's relationship, but I'm just so like angry about the situation, especially for Glory's sake, that like Glory is basically like, Blackjack, I love you, but I can't stand being in a relationship anymore, and I'm gonna break up with you, which like this is the third time this has happened at this point in the story, so I don't care. Like, I don't really care about that part anymore. I'm just kind of like angry about everything to do with the way that it's framed, where like Glory just regurgitates like really deeply lesbianphobic like rhetoric where she's like, but like I'll never be able to be in a relationship the same way you can be in a relationship with 21. It's just impossible. I can't have your kids. That just means all the world, apparently. Also, you and 21 have a relationship that I could never match. Listeners, she means the part. It means the fact that both of them have been raped violently. Ignoring the fact that one of the people that raped 21 was Blackjack.
I want to.
It's just a layer cake.
I meet Sombra on a Minecraft server.
it's particularly aggravating because like Sombra, for some reason, is in his head believes that he's like an ally, and like we've talked about before, but his allyship is just bullshit. But like, it's shit like this that I really want to call out in like people who consider themselves to be allies. That like if you're writing characters that are in a relationship and they're supposed to be gay, stop writing them as if they're just hetero characters because they don't have the same opinions on things. Like that's like that should be obvious, but like the idea that Glory cares about babies and like heteronormative relationships and shit like that is like genuinely just disrespectful to her as a lesbian, as a character.
Yeah, this is like, at this point, it seems increasingly apparent that Sombra's allyship is the same kind of allyship you could get out of like a glad-handing, maybe guitar-playing Southern Baptist preacher. Like, no, I'm an ally of the LGBTs. I am their ally in Christ, and I am here to guide them away from like.
Yeah, hate the sin, not the sin.
Just as Christ was could be said to be an ally of the prostitutes and the loathsome, so too as I am an ally of the all sinners.
All right. Well, here's the rest of that.
Well, I'm an ally to murderers and thieves. Christ is their ally.
Jesus. But yeah, so the rest of that scene is her breaking up with her. And again, it's for, like, it's the thing. The thing is outside of just the lesbophobic bullshit of, like, Glory feeling that she's incapable of being in a relationship, like, a true relationship with Blackjack, ignoring all that shit, I can definitely buy Glory, like, the thing is, I can buy Glory feeling like this. Like, I can buy her having abandonment issues and her from being of a society that's deeply heteronormative and feeling like her relationship just isn't. The problem with the story is the story fucking agrees with her in every way. Like, literally minutes. Like, the end of this scene is 21 and Blackjack getting together as a relation, like as a couple, finally. Because BJ is so distraught, she rebounds into 21, but because Sombra doesn't understand how fucking rebounds work, this is just how they are now. They're just a kind of weird on-again, off-again couple. They literally fuck the next scene. Like, literally the scene is tail-ended with Glory leaving, Blackjack being distraught, and the way that they just had to cool off because they've got some time is they're going to go fuck upstairs for a while. We got a cutaway talking about how great and awesome it is. And how good, like, we are told diegetically how great 21's penis is. It is the best dick in the world. It's better than Stygius, who had weird bat dick. Like, he was the best. Blows everyone else out the water instantaneously. And that just appalls me in just every way.
Chapter 69, the sex number. Bad. Bad, 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 bad.
Told ya.
You mean nice? No, no, bad.
There's another one of those lines given by the characters, which is so fucking dark that Somber doesn't understand it. BJ in a moment of like post-coital afterglow is like, "How did you get so good at that?" And 21 just goes, "Oh, you know, practice, lots and lots of practice." Somber, he's a rape victim. He was a domesticated slave. Stop writing like this. You fucking disease.
Somber is a human pimple.
We're running out of insults that don't border into slur territory with Somber because, like, it's just this is just society over again. Like that time when they fucked in society. Like, it's just you don't understand how dark it is to write a character who is like good at sex because they were a like literal sex toy, and them like blithely chuckling about being a sex toy for most of their adult life, fuck, most of their child life as well, and just putting that in your story is just, it's disgusts me in ways that like I feel like only my emotion coming through the airwaves can communicate. I hate this so fuck. Like, I hate 21 not because 21 exists or he's a badly written character. I hate him because he exists to be bizarre rape apologia. Like, it's like there's a ton of rape apologia in the story. Hell, there's more in this chapter coming up.
Oh, I thought this was as bad.
No. It gets worse. This is a conga line, motherfucker.
Like, yeah, then let's get to it. Like, because like, yeah, this is ground we've. Actually, I'm not sure we've covered 21. Like, the most sympathetic coverage we've given in 21 was like the time that I like audibly gasped in horror at like
the society dance thing.
Yeah, the subsequent rape. The time, like, we saw him on screen, like, raped in, like, brutal, like, operatic, like, this is, like, a Greek-style tragedy at the end of which Blackjack must be destroyed.
Yes.
Level, like, emotionally damaging rape. But, like, yeah, this is the first time I've really, like, clicked to that 21 is as much the victim of a cruel god as any of these other characters.
Yes.
Like, this is the first time I've actually like, okay, I'm protective services here, knocking on your door, Somber. 21's coming with me. You can't have him anymore.
Yes, absolutely. So anyways, Calamity and Velvet Remedy show up, characters from A Better Story, because they're just in this now. Like, they're just permanent, more or less permanent additions to the story until the ending, because Somber has burnt out his own characters already, so he has nothing else but these two. But they show up and interrupt what we are assured is a whirlwind sex session between BJ and 21, where she shows up, like, we really need to get through this. She shows up at the front door, in a harness, like in a sex harness. I don't what you call it, like bondage gear, but like the less you think about the actual logistics of what this looks like, the better. And also, like, just covered in semen, which, like, I don't know, like, there's a lot of word choices you could have used there, but I personally don't believe that Blackjack would use the word semen. Like, she just doesn't come across as the kind of character who would say anything besides cum or like grosser. But that's just me. But she shows up like this to just have like a casual chat with Velvet Remedy and Calamity. And also Scotch is there, but she doesn't care because she's like equally like dead to the
fucking
horrible.
Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, we just gotta get through this. And they have a casual conversation about like, oh yeah, we gotta go like Manor, everyone's waiting for you. And then like the scene is punctuated with like Velvet Remedy like throwing up her hooves in despair and literally saying the phrase, "She's like the anti-Pip." Which is
I must
pretty
go
on
now. It's over, Fi. I'm actually projecting. I can't reach my physical form anymore. I'm going away.
Bye. Weird's leaving for the Orb Force. Oh man, this is even the worst thing that happens in this chapter. Okay, so oh cool. Here's in my notes. It's literally just time to console the rape tank. But first and foremost, there's just a thing I wanted to bring up. They point out that like literally everyone Blackjack has ever met or helped or has ever heard of her is at this manor, which is confusing, even though like apparently like everyone would think
it's
she's
supposed
a
to be
fake.
Everybody like that's and also yeah everyone I don't
but
whatever. Yeah
there's like a direct line in here that kind of shoots down your theory that this the waste is bigger than you think it is, because they talk about like the actual like forces of the like brood and harbinger, and it's only like a couple thousand at most. But like also what happened to Thunderhead and the refugees? There was like what 500,000 people up there. Where did they go?
And if a lot of them have been stranded on the ground, then like wouldn't they be swept up in the like wouldn't they be prime recruitment material? Like
yeah,
people
from one side or the
who
other.
Are accustomed
yeah.
to a hyper authoritarian power structure that like asks nothing of their free will and is willing to provide like a measure of the comfort that they used to know by way of their infinite resources.
Oh man, you're gonna hate this so much.
That requires okay. like some understanding of any character as setting as a character. And therefore
yes.
Sombra doesn't even understand his own.
You're gonna hate this so much. So they go Blackjack goes into apparently Deus is just there, you know, the rape tank. And they need to like go. Blackjack goes into his memories to figure out what's wrong and what she's trying to tell her, because like apparently he's just been like, I don't know, I guess they've been able to sense, even though he doesn't have a voice box, that he wanted to like talk to Blackjack. So
it's
she
been
goes
months.
Oh god. So she goes into his memories and like it's a horrible dumb bullshit ghost sphere where we're just seeing Deus's dumb memories again, where he's tragically, you know, tragically arrested for something he didn't even really do. And Blackjack makes it clear that no really, you should be forgiven because it wasn't really your fault. And also like the specifically says that it says this thing that rapists love to say, which is that like if you accuse you of a rape of being a rapist, then your life is over. Everyone judges you based on that, whether or not it's true or not. Like that is a thing that rapists say, which is also demonstrably not true because there's a ton of rapists that currently run the government or are planning to or are Supreme Court judges. So like, this isn't true in the first place. But it's very much just like. Apologia
Scarlet,
by way of
Scarlet Letters are for women only.
Yes, clearly, men do not experience the consequences of the rape they commit. Blackjack like goes into his memories and it's like, what do you want to tell me? And I'm gonna leave this quick because this is a big thing. But there's this whole thing about like explaining a bunch of his actions and why he's been doing stuff. And it's like, okay, it's what was on. Oh god, okay. It was on like specifically Rampage's orders to help her that he decided to do so. Oh god. So because we find out that this entire time that Deus is Rampage's father, which is genuinely, like, I'm genuinely feeling, like, sick and horrible and awful about, like, this is a revelation. Like, just... So it turns out that the reason why he cared and why he was trying to get out of the prison and all that shit and all the stuff that he was trying to do was because he wanted to see his daughter. 200 years later, he found out that his daughter has been wandering around as a weird soul jar for a while, and he joined the Reapers specifically to protect her and keep an eye on her, because of course...
Isn't he supposed to... Okay, yeah. Now, did you finish?
Even though he's a horrible rapist, he still cares about his daughter. Also, we learn her real name is Peppermint.
This is specifically designed to hurt me.
Yes. Yes, it is.
This is the most... This is the dumbest fucking ass, ass pull I can imagine. Yes. There's absolutely nothing set this up. This makes sense in absolutely no way. Like, Deus has been presented as a mental invalid and B, totally self-absorbed. In what way would Rampage need protecting? Like, she's...
I also, like, so I have a theory about, like, why this is even happening right now. And the reason why this is happening is because Somber painted himself into a corner like he's never done before. Rampage, he has established that Rampage is unfixable as a story element unless she could be proven that there's something worth living for. Like, she was a real boy the whole time. She was always a person. Meaning we need to know some fact we've never known before that unlocks the entire puzzle, and that being that Rampage was a real person the entire time, and everything about her being a soul amalgam has never mattered. It apparently has never had any impact on her psyche, her personality, her character. She just has always been her own person on top of that. She's not a true gestalt entity, she's just a person possessed by six other bodies, two of which are people she's directly related to, one of them being her mother, and the other one being her mother's wife.
I think we had trouble with this shit. It's a repeat of the goddess and giant goth Lolita horse. Yes, it's a repeat of Lacuna's whole thing all over again, because Somber's, let's be honest here, let's just be straightforward, deeply fascist outlook requires an elevation of the individual.
Well, I wouldn't even say individual. The theme I think about a lot is essentialism. It's not even just specifically the individual, it's that there is a core innate person untouched by experience. It is purely a nature.
People are not a product of their environment. People are not a product of other people. They are that, like, all souls are sovereign and unique and essential in their nature. Essentially good or essentially bad being part of that, which helps justify all manner of atrocity for the people who are essentially good. And helps wash away any good that could be pointed to being done by somebody who is essentially bad. Somber cannot tolerate the idea of somebody finding validity in being a collective, being like the consequence of the intersection of a bunch of other people. I think this is the final. I'll be real surprised if he manages to find new ways to assassinate Rampage's character even more, but this feels like his final death blow at attempting to assassinate Rampage's character, because now she is fully depowered, fully divested from any significance as a mythic unstoppable death figure. Because she's always had, like, her daddy has always, like, her literal daddy has always been watching over her this entire time.
And she's always been a little girl named Peppermint. Because that's why she always turns into a little girl when she gets evaporated, is because she was...
And not, okay.
Yeah. Sure. Yep, man, that's the explanation behind that.
My rage. My anger.
Yep.
I'm so deeply angry. Erasing her entire 200 years.
We could do a whole podcast on Rampage alone. Just as a character study.
Oh man. Okay, what happens next? I gotta move on. I can't dwell on this. It's bad. Like, what have you done to my girl?
What did you do? What did you do to Weird's baby? How dare you? Christ. Yeah, this isn't in light of all of those other things. A lot of these other things are not nearly as consequential. But BJ over here is 21, and Glory conversing about the fact that Glory broke up with BJ really suddenly. 21, like, super nice guys the whole situation, where it's like, how did you do this to her? She's already going through so much. Like, what did you think of her for once? Which is like, fuck off. Like, I don't buy into this either. I don't like this idea of her breaking up with her either. But like Glory has every reason to not want to be in a relationship with Blackjack. Like, they're horribly codependent with each other, and also like she does abandon her all the time, and Glory has abandonment issues. Like, it's she's literally playing into her fear, and it's deeply abusive. But like, it's really framed like Glory was just being a bitch about it, because of course, again. And we bring this up. We've brought this up fucking forever. 21 is a mouthpiece. He is the stud who is always right. Because it also gets called that, like, oh, 21, you love her too, don't you? And he's like, well, whatever. Because there's this weird thing where it, like, there's almost a sex positive message here. And that, like, sex doesn't equal love. So, like, just because these two are having casual sex doesn't mean they love each other. But, like, oh man, the fact that this exists to justify this next sentence is really fucked up. Glory is like, it would never work between all of us anyways, because it took literal appliance of alcohol to both get us into the same bed together, because Somber makes a fatal misunderstanding of poly relationships, and that he assumes that all participants in a poly relationship have to be equally romantically and sexually involved with each other, which is incredibly wrong. Just a multi-layered
unsustainable
cake.
And yeah,
it if Somber knew anything about poly relationships, this wouldn't even be drama. It would just be like, well, I want to date her, and I also want to date her, and 21 like doesn't care about like monogamy, so it works, whatever. And like, Glory can just get over it, because she seems kind of like, because she's presented as kind of being on the fence on it, partly because of her like monogamous like upbringing, but like, she's not hesitant to the idea of being in a poly relationship, just that she can't be with a dude is really what it falls down to. And like, again, that's just this is manufactured drama based off of a wild misunderstanding by the author. This isn't how poly relationships work.
Hi, I'm 21. This is my girlfriend Blackjack, and this is her girlfriend Glory.
Yeah, it's totally, that happens. I know a lot of people that are like that.
But like the Somber makes all these errors about being so dark and edgy and realistic. If he had half a brain cell, if he weren't just an actual pimple growing off of some other human being's ass, the real dark thing he could do right here is that, like, maybe Glory and 21 have a more healthy view of it, but like, from Blackjack's perspective, even if she doesn't understand it consciously, basically, her interaction with this relationship is she's just back in stable 99. She has her fuck piece and a girlfriend, and that's normal to her. That's just part and parcel of a Tuesday. She's just back home.
Never left 99.
And the drama could be between like Glory, like mainly Glory, like seeing like, oh, this is sick. This is wrong. Like 21, you're falling back on like, the both of you are falling back on old behaviors. And 21, you should know better. Blackjack is a fucking monster. Like, we both need to like come to terms with it. She is a fucking monster who is uninterested in growing out of her like darkest base impulses and old habits. But like,
That would require, like, good writing.
21 in glory. Leave the story as platonic besties. Like two gay friends setting out on the road and
They leave the story and they go date the two different, two of the bat ponies that were romantically interested in them in this. And they just fucking leave. Because it's not like they have any impact on the story. Christ. Oh, God, Christ. And the fucking how this chapter ends is fucking... Oh, it's troubling. So, Blackjack is, like... goes onto the pulpit and has to, like, convince everyone she is who she says she is, and has to, like, more or less basically all of the, like, faction leaders pretty much buy it right away that she is who she says she is, because they all know her personally, and, like, it becomes immediately obvious she is exactly who she says she is. And there really just isn't that much conflict over them trying to figure it out. There's a kind of, like, comical line where she's like, well, I'm in a clone body made out of flux, so I can't be mutified anymore. And to prove it, I'm going to drink this bucket of rainbow goo.
Okay.
And then she does. And, like, a guy's like, that's bullshit. You switched that out before the start. And then he drinks it and he dies of cancer. Which is, in a microcosm, is kind of a funny joke. Like, it's a grim joke.
I'll confess that's a good bit.
But, fucking Christ. So, the actual thing of what happens here is BG, like, just does the triumph of the, like, triumph of the will, like, just does, like, the Nazi speech. Like, remember, listen.
I cannot forget the
years ago.
Yeah, that's burned with me.
Is Golden Blood had, like, a literal Nazi speech in front of the Hoof about Hoofington Rising. BJ just quotes that verbatim at this audience, and then everyone cheers, which, like, again, just the context of that is just alarming in so many ways. Like, it's just our protagonist just gives, like, a straight up, like, Hitler speech, like just quoting a Hitler speech at an audience, and everyone's like, yeah, that sounds awesome, before they go on to exterminate a bunch of zebras.
Oh boy.
There's cyber zebras that can't feel any emotions, and they're all evil by birth. Which, I mean, like, oops. And also a bunch of religious fanatics, which also oops. But as a fucking chaser to that, they're like, there is a lot, and I'm not going to bore you with the details, audience. There is a fucking lot of ink spilled over how this is all going to fall down. Like, whose role in the war is going to do this, and how they're going to fight all the zebra cloning facilities, and how they're going to do all this shit, and it just doesn't matter. Just the end of an anime war arc is about to happen. That's all you really need to know. But they're all just like, but we need to have a war leader to coordinate this. And they all swivel their heads to Blackjack, and Blackjack's like, oh no, I'm not the war leader. He is. And then points to Golden Blood. It's so monumentally bad. It's like, we got Hitler on our side. Hitler's gonna go coordinate the war effort. It's just, holy shit. Like, what a bad, like, he can't even get punished. There's so much time spent on, like, oh, he's gonna get punished by the Wasteland and have to, like, make up for his
immediately. Let's put him in a position of extreme privilege.
Yeah, again. So yeah, Fuhrer Golden Blood is back in the saddle, and that's how we end our chapter.
Can you think of anything better we could be doing right now? Because I really need,
like, anything. Something. Okay, so the best I can always offer to other people is, like, fucking video games. I picked up Monster Train really recently. It's really, really good. Like, really, really good. It's a fun little card battler. It's you know, like, something like Slay the Spire or whatever, but it's, like, more about, like, monster generation. So it's a little bit closer to something like Magic the Gathering or Hearthstone, but as a, like, deck building game. It's really, really good.
Sounds incredibly cool. Speaking of video games, one that's so good it kind of ruined my life recently, fucked up my sleep schedule, is Battle Chef Brigade. It's super pretty. It's so pretty and cute. It's a fun trip. The basic gameplay loop is that, like, you run into a dungeon area, hunting for monsters, slice them up, grab their parts, rush them to the kitchen, and play a sort of a weird sort of match four game.
It's very bejeweled
with their bits. I think that the thing that's really sold me on it more than anything is it's very cute art style, and it's very just nice story. Like it's the best story I've seen out of a video game in a long while. I also would recommend again. I think I've recommended on previous episodes, The West Wing Thing, a podcast about The West Wing, and I recommend it specifically because there's some uncomfortable parallels between it and this podcast. Because both projects, both that The West Wing Thing and this project, are basically the same sort of project. We're delving into the mind of a narcissist through their work. It turns out Aaron Sorkin is not far removed from Somber.
Mm-hmm. What a weird sentence. only Project Horizons could bring this to light. Oh man. Oh fuck. So you can find us at I'm at Thou Art Phi, where I habitually draw porn, complain about politics, and also dunk on TERFs. So if you enjoy any of that, come say hi.
You can say hi to at Weirdington E, which I haven't really been using recently. Like, I just don't have the energy for it. Like, but definitely I would recommend, and in fact, urge all of you, to email us, with your questions, comments, praise, insults, to weirdingtonesq@gmail.com.
And we're getting close to the end. So you should send us, if you title it like extravaganza, that means we'll take the envelope and put it in a little box, and that box will be used for the finale epilogue, where we go through all everyone's questions to like clear up any like confusing nonsense about Project Horizons and try to like go into depth in more depth about something that you may have like really wondered about that we just didn't get to. Extravaganza or Horizon or finale or something along those lines, and then we'll put it in a box. And then we'll unseal the box.
In a box.
Yeah, in a box.
Oh, man, Fi. It finally happened. You promised me. You told me literal years ago now. At least a year ago, this was the promised day that we'd get a full course fascist speech.
I don't like it either.
I think this was all some sort of terrible mistake.
Have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down.